This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisen and Noel Lim. 7:07 a.m. Monday the 5th of October, and in about 15 minutes we'll be speaking with Ko Yew Leng, independent political economist with Sergi Enam Advisors, on the latest Malaysian company to fall foul of US labour laws. But before that, we're taking a look at how global markets closed on Friday.
It's a bit of a mixed bag, but mostly in the red. If you take a look at Asia, Nikkei was down 0.7%, Shanghai was down 0.2%, Singapore was down 0.2%. The only two green markets in Asia, this was on Friday, were Hong Kong, which was up 0.8%, and the FBM KLCI was up 0.2% that day.
And the US markets, the Dow was down 0.5%, S&P 500 down 1%, NASDAQ down 2.2%.
I think this was after the Donald Trump's condition was made public, right?
Yes, sir. So that's something that we're going to be asking this morning of Stephen Innes, Global Chief Markets Strategist at Axie, who's on the line with us to give us some insight into global markets. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us. Now, the news that Trump contracted COVID introduced an element of uncertainty in global markets. US equities did stay surprisingly resilient, but the VIX spiked upwards. How then should investors position themselves for the coming week?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting week. I'm trying to figure out what to do here, whether it's the President Trump's overall healthcare situation is going to sort of quote unquote Trump everything else. this could be a problem. I'm trying to figure out. I'm sort of fumbling in the dark right now, and I'm sure a number of my colleagues are. And we may end up doing that simply because of the reliance that we're going to have on the poll numbers, as well as perhaps reliance on the debates, whether we're going to have more debates between the two primary protagonists, or whether they're going to default back to the to Vice President Trump and Biden's running mate Kamala Harris. For me, I think the secondary debates are going to take on a larger level of importance. So be interesting to see how this unfolds. Overall, I think the only thing that I'm really certain about is that uncertainty is going to reign dominant in the market for the next little bit.
Pundits expect this latest development will weaken Trump's re-election chances. Do you necessarily share this view?
You know, the immediate reaction, I was quite certain on Friday that this would be sort of the proverbial nail in his election coffin. But you know, looking at the way that the people responded over the weekend, there was just some really bad press that he got, and I think this is a bit unwarranted, more from you know, any sort of logical decorum, but you feel sympathy for anybody that contracts an illness. And some of the venomous comments that were put out there may sway some of those people that were sort of on the fence or even swinging to the left side back into the Trump camp. So I'm thinking we may get a bit of a sympathy bounce on this. And we have to be very, very careful how we interpret the polls going forward. But ultimately, and I think this is the big problem, this is most likely going to increase the likelihood of a contested ballot. And this is really what the market's worried about, not necessarily who's going to get elected, but really what's going to happen after the election during the period where we don't have a government in power, as these ballots are going to get contested in the courts. Who knows how long that's going to last? Could last months. And that's a worry for the markets when right now, when the markets most need a stable government.
And given all this, Stephen, the unfolding events, the uncertainty that we're seeing, is it more likely, or how important is a new US stimulus deal during this time, especially during the next, let's say, week or so, given the September employment numbers that we saw as well?
Well, you saw what the markets did on Friday, and they barely, and compared to sell-offs we've had this year, that was very, very minor. It gets back to the stimulus support, and it gets back to the central bank narratives that provide the markets with, you know, just incredulous amounts of money in the system, and that really provided the big buffer on Friday. I think there's a high level of optimism that a deal will eventually get done, and with the polls leaning towards the Democrats right now, whether it happens next week or whether it happens in 4 4 weeks down the road, 4 weeks down the road, or 5 weeks down the road. I still think, regardless of whatever president, whoever gets into the office, their primary goal will be to get U.S. employment back on tracks again, and that means more stimulus. Will the Democrats provide higher level of stimulus? Probably. Will the Republicans provide stimulus? Oh, yeah. But really, you know, we're splitting hairs here. But to get back to your point, yeah, I think it does increase the odds that we're going to see a stimulus over the next couple of weeks. But you know, these Republican senators are really, really putting up a big defense here. First of all, there's only 23 up for election. And of those 23, I believe the last polls I looked at, there was only really four that are going to be contested. This doesn't sound like there is a political motivation for them to put the stimulus in. This could be a hurdle. Whether they pick up on the sympathy beat towards Trump, that's another thing. That's an emotional decision. I don't have a clear view on that. But I think we'll see a bill at some level, whether it's a 2.2, whether it's a 1.6, or whether it's a meeting in the middle. I think there'll be something happening over the next week or two.
And Stephen, let's also bring it back home here for us in Malaysia. With virus cases rising in the country, will we see increased risk aversion to the ringgit as well as Malaysian equities?
There, you know, the Malaysia has done a very good job at controlling the virus. Now, I think if we look throughout the world right now, we're seeing an uptick, and that's just going to happen. Now, we can't use the weather excuse here in our neck of the woods because, you know, we don't move indoors. But there is a thing, there is something to be had here that people, if it's too hot, perhaps people are moving into more air-conditioned facilities, and this is a bit of a worry where they're not adhering to those social rules. So it doesn't seem to matter. We always end up back at that same discussion again that, you know, we have to social distance. I think we have to protect ourselves through 2021. But getting back to the question, I think, yeah, it'll have a small effect. But if we look at where the Malaysian equities are trading, there's a real bounce in rubber markets because of the COVID and the need for medical gloves. This, you know, rising COVID cases worldwide is very supportive for those industries. And as far as the ringgit, it's sort of remaining in favor because it's got a solid buffer given the exports that go into China. So it's trading very, very much as we refer to as a strong beta to the yuan. In other words, it's tethered to the yuan. The other positive that I like for the Malaysian ringgit are the real yields. It's got a very, very competitive yield advantage over the U.S. and a lot of other regional baskets. So it does tend to attract money into the bond market. But, you know, again, currency markets are fickle. They can change on the dime. Personally, I don't see the U.S. dollar as a safe haven. So perhaps the Malaysian ringgit may hold its own going forward in these types of markets.
You mentioned about bonds. So Malaysian government bonds, would that be a safe haven during this period?
I think anything with a yield on it is quite attractive. I think that's what we're going to see investors flock into. You've got higher levels of uncertainty. People usually go under the safety of bond yields. The U.S. bond yields aren't that attractive because the real yields are negative. Nominal yields, less the inflation impact, are negative. So people are still looking for other yields. I think Asia, looking at whether it's China government bonds, whether it's Malaysia government bonds, I think they look quite attractive because the economies are all picking up at a greater pace in this region. And there's a strong chance in Malaysia that the central bank will also lower interest rates, which is quite favorable for owning bonds.
Thank you for joining us this morning, Stephen. That was Stephen Innes, Global Chief Market Strategist at Axie. Of the opinion there that I think this is a rise in COVID cases is good news for the rubber glove makers, who, of course, are a huge component of our KLCI at this point. We've had two rubber glove manufacturers on the grill quite recently. So one was Top Glove. I spoke with Dato' Lee Kim Miao, the managing director. And Noel, you also spoke with Aspen Group.
That's right. They are listed on Catalyst in Singapore. So I spoke to Dato' Murli Manukaran, the CEO, Chua Mayu. Tan Sri Chua Mayu is one of the investors in their new rubber glove venture. I think what interests me was the US part, high risk of contested ballot, possibly after November 3rd. What will happen after that? More choppiness for the market. And I think a Biden victory is obviously a negative for equities, judging by what happened last week. So fiscal stimulus is key to bolster the market, at least for this week.
Yeah, and then of course it's just whether this plays into whether the sympathy vote plays into the 3% undecided voters. But then again, more often than not, voters are quite decided by this point. So we'll have to see how that plays out. It's going to be an interesting 2 months, right? Because with mail-in votes, it could take much longer than the day itself to count those votes.
All right, and we're going to be watching this story very closely indeed. But right now we have some messages for you, and then up next we're looking at the US ban on imports from FGV. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.